This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are back from the Thanksgiving break and our interview over at Goose Island as we chat about our couple weeks hitting up Dovetail, Beguile, drinking coffee. We've just been all over the city, so we got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to cork pop out. Boop, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Rawr, rawr, rawr!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Tomlewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And in the studio this week, no barrels around us.
Man, no gorgeous 6,000 square foot facility to record from.
No. Sorry.
But you got the Christmas tree up.
Yeah.
I saw that.
We got the holiday theme going here.
You know, we got the Beer Mary glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. So if you're new to Chicago Beer Pass, if you listened last week and it was an interview with Jared.
Yes. Jared Jankowski, the brewmaster at Goose Island.
Yeah. That's not always what happens. It's not an interview show.
That's true, man. I mean, I really liked, because, I went hunting Black Friday. And, being outside for 2 hours and, it's overwhelming, pursuing those beers. But just to sit down with the brewmaster and comfortably talk about those beers and hang out, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I liked, Bo got into some questions in the backdrop, afterwards, where it was more like a backstory about Jared, his mentor is the guys up at New Glarus and, mm-hmm. How he had like this beer can collection at 12 because that's what his uncles did, empty beer cans. And he decided he wanted to be a brewmaster like around 16 and he studied chemistry because he wanted to make beer. Like he had all these cool stories that we didn't record.
I know, we should have kept rolling.
But yeah, like we talked about in the pre-show, that would have been a 2-hour show. Uh-huh. So I think we did our job. So.
Right. So there's that. But the normal show is us just drinking beer and talking about beer we have drank and what we will be drinking.
Yes.
So this week, to kick things off, we're always drinking local beer too. We're drinking some Sketchbook.
Yeah.
This is their Orange Door. It's just an IPA.
Yeah. Let's see. 6.8%, tall boy, 4 cans. And I believe Orange Door is kind of an homage to the original entrance before they got the tap room space, where it was like an old cabbie garage or something.
Like down the alley or the side street kind of thing, yeah.
And that door to get into the brewery was orange, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
So we're sipping on that. It's a solid beer. I know they have a new logo and design kind of rolling out here, so these cans, I think, will be phasing out here shortly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and cheers to those guys because they just celebrated their third year,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, they had the big reveal party, the reveal of the new logo for their third anniversary.
All right. Which that kind of almost leads into what we did the last couple of weeks. You went to this.
I did. It was my first time at Sketchbook. I'm walking down the donors wall and I see Brad Chmielewski's name on the wall there.
Damn,
I'm like,
straight.
I'm like, I know him. I know that guy. Yeah, man. They had like a Monday night party and they had like a bunch of cask and a bunch of cool stuff in the brew house. And then they had all their standard offerings in the tap room.
Oh, cool.
Up front. So yeah, it was cool. If you don't know about the Sketchbook guys, a couple of the guys we know through the circuit, through like beer events, right? Like Sean Curry and Ted Perez. Later I found out that he's the current president of the Evanston Homebrew Club. And he also is the co-founder. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know
and
that.
And then he met the primary founders through Evanston's Homebrew Club, which is pretty cool. So they got a tight-knit community up there.
Yeah. And they're making a pretty solid beer. I've dug everything I've had from them.
Yeah, I was excited about the, I want to say it's a Wee Heavy. I'll look it up right now.
But
Wee
Heavy's Revolution, right?
No, they had I want to say they had a Scotch Ale on.
Oh, okay.
Up there. They had something called the Snowy Owl.
Oh, okay.
I forget what style that is.
Nice.
But yeah, that was good. Oh, no, sorry. It was a Red Rye Ale, the Snowy Owl.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a 4-pack of the Insufficient Clearance. That's their hazy IPA offering.
Okay.
This is my first time having this one. I like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're cool people, man. So one of the guys is Caesar Marone. He won that homebrew contest from Sam Adams. It's called Long Shot.
So, right, yeah.
You know, you get a, I think, you know, they pick three winners, and then the three winners get like a six-pack for national distribution.
Or it goes in like a case, kind of a mixed pack.
It goes in like a mixed six-pack, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he made a, what did he make? This was back in 2013. Oh, he made a Grotzer. It's a Polish-style wheat ale with saaz hops.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're up there rolling, man. They've expanded production a little bit. Now they're brewing at Church Street in Itasca. And there's one other location that they're brewing at as well.
Oh, does it say on here? Yeah. By the Church Street Brewing. Okay.
So they're rolling up there, man.
That's funny that these are cans brewed at Church Street, but Church Street does bottles.
Oh, Church Street doesn't have any cans?
No, not that I know of, unless that's changed recently.
I never see their stuff. I mean, I see them at like on draft. I never see their stuff in packaging.
Sometimes you do. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I like the old logo. Oh, Grand Central is the other place to brew.
Okay.
Yeah, the old logo. The new logo kind of looks more like a piece of art. This logo is just kind of has the word sketchbook like etched out in like a draft drawing kind of. Mm-hmm. So there's the biggest difference there.
Yeah, I think it'll take some, if you've been used to this logo for sketchbook for a while, it's going to take some getting used to. It always does for new branding, but I think it's a good move and a good change.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
What else have you been up to then?
Man, I went to the Soho House, which is in West Loop, mm-hmm. Around the corner from Girl and the Goat, right?
Okay.
It's like a chicken restaurant on one side and a pizza joint on the other side. And then there's like this bar. It looks like a hotel when you walk in. It's got six floors, and apparently there's a movie theater on, like, the fifth floor. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow, okay.
So Brewmaster is this movie I went to go see. It was sponsored by, God damn, why am I drawing a blank? This is why I write stuff down, man.
Well, it was like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that too. So, Pilsner Urquell. It was powered by Pilsner Urquell.
Okay.
So they got this crew to come in, and he's a director from New York, to come in and do this documentary. It's a two-hour documentary, Brett. and it's called Brewmaster. So tell me this. Do you remember this movie, Beer Wars? It was about Sam Adams. But it was really one of the lead characters in the movie was this lady who helped found Sam Adams. And then she
left to do like Moonshot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't like that movie at all. In part because I didn't really know her and I didn't really want to know her. I just wanted to hear from beer people.
Right. But it was showing... I think the issues of starting a brewery and kind of like, or getting into consumer packaged goods and kind of some of the obstacles.
Yeah. And she was, this movie kind of reminds me of that. But it was really good because I feel like 2 hours is kind of long for a beer documentary. But the way the story goes is like, you know, they had the brewmaster from Pilsner Urquell, but then locally they had Ray Daniels from Cicerone. And then Garrett Oliver. So okay. I think they started with Garrett Oliver. And then the director, who, you know, he clearly wasn't like a hardcore beer guy, he said, who else should I talk to? And that led to Ray Daniels. And Ray Daniels was like, well, hey, you got to talk to Randy Mosier.
Okay.
You know, so they had some really cool beer people in it.
Oh, neat.
You know,
okay.
And that part I really dug. But it's the same kind of documentary. I guess this is how documentaries work, where you have to have, like, characters and you have to follow them.
Yeah.
So this was a guy who's trying to start this brewery called Jew's Brews. Some guy who was a lawyer that quit, and they follow his journey. And in between, like, following his journey, they would interview all these really big personalities in beer. You know, Jim Koch or Cook from Sam Adams, mm-hmm. Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head, and then, of course, even Kaiser's in it from Good Beer Hunting. He's in it,
right,
too.
Okay.
So they had – it was a good movie. This movie theater, though, was pretty fucking slick, man. Like, cute little vintage lamps at every table and popcorn and beer and – recline. It was nice. It was fucking nice.
Well, I would hope there'd be beer for a beer documentary. Yeah. And if it was brought to you by Pilsner Urquell, you'd be kind of disappointed.
So we drank from the fancy new Pilsner Urquell tall boys.
Oh, okay.
Where they commissioned some team to go redesign the logos. But talking to Ray Daniels after the movie for a little bit. He said that him and Randy Mosier were going to start a brewery in the 90s, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It didn't work out?
Right. I'm like, well, Randy, Ray Daniels got caught up doing stuff for Brewers Association. Okay. He's got an interesting journey. I'd love to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
He had before Cicerone, he was like, you know, he wrote a bunch of books and he had a PR company at one point. He worked for the Brewers Association. So he got pulled in that direction. But they were going to make a brewery, something called like Beer City. I'm like, well, where was this brewery going to be? He was like, we're going to put it in Ravenswood. I'm like, aren't you in Ravenswood right now?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. But at the time, they were not having it. This neighborhood was not really on board with it.
So it was all just the neighborhood. Like, they were ready to go. The neighborhood would have been like, yeah.
It would happen. Can you imagine that? I mean, like.
Because Randy Mosier, like, he's invested in Revolution. He's got Five Rabbit.
Yeah, he's even a consultant on the Berghoff brewery project. So that would have been, those are two heavyweights. I mean, there's, I don't really believe in that beer celebrity thing, but whenever I see Randy Mosier, I kind of freak out, you know? So that was an interesting story. Yeah. Movie's good. I hope it could be 90 minutes. It's really 2 hours, but it's enjoyable if you're into beer.
The beer scene.
Yeah.
Nice.
So went to that.
It's pretty awesome. So, that was a couple weeks ago. Anything else then on your list to mention?
I made it out to Berwyn for the Big Hurt Brewhouse. That's Frank Thomas, Hall of Famer, first baseman for Chicago White Sox.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. he's got a brewery out, and we had a brewery out in Berwyn. But then they revamped the brewery and turned it into just basically a sports bar and grill.
Yeah.
So this was the grand opening for that.
Because the beer sucked.
Man, the beer's rough, man. And, you know, here's this guy, he's like 6'5". You know, he looks like he can still play baseball. It looks like he could kick my ass. And I want to ask him so bad about this beer that, you know, that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, so are you still making the beer? And he was like, he jumped right into it. He was like, yeah. We weren't really happy with how the beer turned out because they were making it up in Monroe, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So now going forward, they're going to have the honey ale, honey blonde, and the red ale brewed at Wild Onion up in Barrington.
Okay.
Those guys are cool. I like Wild Onion. We brewed our beer up at Wild Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, he's got a different kind of focus now. And I think initially they were kind of, so this Berwyn, in Berwyn, this west suburb, right? This strip is like kind of under development and everything's brand new. All these new businesses are coming in. But this this old version of the brew house was kind of like upscale.
Okay.
And he was saying like, you know, we were full on weekends, but we don't want to eat that food 7 days a week. And we want this to be more of a sports bar vibe.
Okay.
So now it's a completely different menu. They got the guys from Buena Beef to come in and help manage the place. And it's got a totally different vibe. You know, my favorite part is that it's in an old bank.
So, oh, like, that's cool.
So there's the event space is in the vault, uh-huh. And then it's got this really cool exterior and, you know, roof, ceiling, decor situation, Brad. It's good. I would go just for that. That place is on the National Register for Historic Landmarks.
Oh, that's cool.
That bank.
All right. Berwyn. How long does it take to get out there?
Man. So I came straight to the show from there, and that was a solid 40 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
It wasn't horrible.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're on like 22nd Street, west, just west of the city. So just past like Harlem, you know.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Over Thanksgiving, I guess that weekend, I did a epic beer crawl. Right, we hit up Beguile, Dovetail, Empirical, and then finally ended at Simon's for the Glug. It was Glug release
Simon's
night.
Simon's Tavern up in Andersonville.
Yeah, so right down the street from Hopleaf. That was the night. I think they were releasing Glug for the first time for the winter.
Right on.
It's the warm, spiced wine.
And in the summer, they do the slushy, which the got me hooked on.
Which those are great. Yeah.
They're fantastic. How do they serve the hot one? Is it like?
It's like in a little cup.
Okay.
With some like almonds and spices in there too, and then you get a little cookie with it too.
Oh, right on.
So yeah. But yeah. You know, Beguile and Dovetail, always great. Mm-hmm. That was my first time going to Empirical. I had never been there. I've had their beers, like Gamma Ray and some of those other ones.
Yeah.
But I had never been there. And the brew pub feels like, I guess it was a brew pub. It doesn't feel maybe as upscale as some of the brew pubs or well put together as some of the other. It's kind of like, hey, we got a space and we're making beer.
Yeah,
let's do it. It's like a 90s grunge, like kind of like, this is our garage, let's go.
Man.
Which is cool. Like, it's not, as not to like say it's bad or anything. It just was like, it is a totally different vibe from what you're currently seeing. People like, it's got to be clean and reclaimed wood. This is like,
this is
the wood that was here. Like, we didn't reclaim nothing. This is just like we dusted that off.
I love the range on Chicago breweries, man. Like, yeah, you got Band of Bohemia that's got a fucking Michelin star and it's a brewery. And yeah, and then you got this place where it's just like, yeah, like you said, like no frills, bare bones, like garage rock band.
Right, yeah. Like, I was glad. It's pretty bright in there, which is good because if it was dark, it'd be like one of those places. You've been to bars where they have a couch and you're like, I don't think I should sit on that couch.
There's no telling what's going on with this couch. Yeah, it's too dark. It's too dark to know.
It's pretty bright in there, so you're like, okay, it's safe. And I was told they have cats there that like run around the brew house area because you can see it through the windows, and there's a lot of space in there.
How do you feel about cats?
I like cats.
I'm on board with cats too. Yeah. I grew up with a cat. I'm down with cats.
I got a couple cats now, so I'm down.
Are they still doing the I went once a long time ago, and they had like every tap handle was like a lightsaber.
Some of them are lightsabers. Okay. That just added to the "this is our garage" kind of vibe to be like, yeah, we got some lightsabers. Like, what else we got? Like, we were at a garage sale last weekend. We found this thing. Let's like, prop it up to the side. It's a surfboard.
It's you and your bros get that first apartment, and and it's like, look at all the space we got. Let's pimp it out.
Yeah, we'll put up every poster from every event we've ever done. It's like, cool, man. But they were doing that night. They were doing like a, I feel like almost like a cellar raid, or so they had a lot of beers on tap. So it was cool. But we were just doing like one beer at each stop. So kind of.
Yeah. You know. I know the Empirical guys made a play for like that concert hall up in Logan. Rogers Park. Main stage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like an old converted movie theater, and they do live shows there. And I believe Empirical's moving into that place.
Oh, interesting. Cool. Nice. So that was what was that? That was my Blackout Wednesday. That was Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Man.
Then I also did a little Southside Brewery hit up.
Oh, you were all over the place, man.
Yeah,
I did. That's the far north, and then you went south.
Yeah. Did the Jolly Pumpkin in Hyde Park.
You went to Jolly Pumpkin.
I went to Jolly Pumpkin, I posted a couple pictures on the Instagram, and then we just went in really just to, like, grab a bite, check it out, have one beer. It wasn't like this. We were moving our way to Blue Island, so this was just kind of like a halfway stop, and, like, let's grab a bite to eat because Blue Island doesn't have food, so we'll get something here. It was a little confusing when you walk in there because it's one of those places where you – order your food and your beer at a counter.
And then you go sit down.
So it's a, what, fast casual?
Is that I like that.
Fast casual. It's one of those fast casuals. You get your number and they bring you your food.
Right on.
When that happens and you go into a place that you've never been to, you don't know what to do. And then you're all of a sudden in line and they're like, what do you need? You're like, I don't know how this works.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of overwhelmed with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like that. My first time in Italy was like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do I do? Where do I go?
So with pizza sometimes like a thing you want to talk about like with your group. Like, oh, do you want this on there? You want mushrooms?
That's
you want
true. That?
And then they have sandwiches. They have their menu is big for you to stand there and look at it. And then their beer list is even bigger because they have all the Jolly Pumpkin beers. And then they have the North Point.
That other brewery they're affiliated with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't – it's – I felt rushed to make a decision. We ended up getting a pizza and one of the Jolly Pumpkin sours that I hadn't seen. For them, just being open, I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack, but the pizza dough was not cooked very well. It was kind of like – it needed like 5 more minutes. It was kind of like soggy. But reheated the next day, it was great.
It's good stuff.
So,
I like the aesthetics on that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right about walking right in because – and then the Jolly Pumpkin beers have these like – really long, like Spanish names, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot to take in.
Uh-huh.
Space is wild, though, man.
That's a nice space. It's big. They got like fooder type things you can like sit in, like little rooms and lots of like counter sitting. So you could like, for people who are at school or just like quick lunch stuff. It was nice. I don't spend a lot of time in Hyde Park, so it was nice.
Yeah, there's no other breweries over east. I mean, there's breweries in Pilsen. But when you're that far east from downtown, there's nothing. There's like the Motor Row, Bader Brau stuff. And then after that, that's it, except for this now.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
That was neat. And super nice strip. Like there's like the movie theater and lots of shopping right there. So it was cool.
downtown, beautiful downtown Hyde Park,
exactly,
Chicago.
Exactly, yeah. It felt like a little, like its own little, like a suburb town has like their strip. That's what Hyde Park kind of feels like sometimes. So.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Then we made our way to Blue Island because Will Turner was having a 50th birthday party there.
The great Will Turner. Happy birthday, Will Turner.
Yeah, so it's his birthday, I think, actually, as we're recording this today.
Yeah. The longest tenured brewmaster at Goose Island Clybourne, and, of course, the head brewer over at the Revolution Pub on Milwaukee.
Yeah. So we stopped in there. They had a surprise party, so had a few beers at Blue Island. Always great beers. Good to see Brian over there and see what he's got on tap and what he's doing. So, north side, south side. I was all over the city this weekend.
Check you out, man. That's a full run right there.
Yeah. So I made sure there's pictures on the Instagram page. So follow that up, Chicago Beer Pass. Yeah. Anything else you hit up over that couple weeks?
Let's see, one more thing. When we were leaving last week, I made a stop by Metric Coffee. Mm. You know, and Metric, man, like, you've had Metric before, right?
Yeah, Cafe Streets right by my house, they have Metric Coffee.
It kind of sits in the shadows of, you know, what they're calling the Chicago Beer District now, with Goose Island and Intelligentsia, which is probably the biggest local roaster, is like a block away from Metric. So Metric's got this really cool kind of hiding in plain sight vibe, and they did this collaboration with Songbird from Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, where Upland Brewing is.
Okay.
So this was a launch party for like their coffee liqueur, right? And the Songbird guys actually had like three or four offerings. One was a vodka. There was a beer schnapps, and then this coffee liqueur. The beer schnapps uses Teddy Bear Kisses from Upland Brewing. I don't know if you've had that. That's their big.
I have had that back in the day at FOBAB.
Yeah.
When they used to go to FOBAB. I don't think they go anymore.
I don't think so either. I remember them like really kicking ass back in the early days when it was at the gymnasium on the West Loop. Yeah. It's made for Teddy Bear Kisses. It was a launch party for that. I should have grabbed some bags, but it was cold and rainy. It was weird. We took the coffee liqueur down to Goose Island, and, you know, we're going to just post game over there. And we're like, hey, they were like, yo, we got on tap deck, we got BCS 17 on.
Okay.
So we show them the coffee liqueur. We're like, well, we have to do this, right? We got to go, you know, 3-1. Let's check it out.
Let's mix it.
Yeah. And man.
It's pretty nice. Was it its own version of like coffee?
It's really fun. Like at home, my go-to on weekends is this Buffalo Trace cream. It's about 15% whiskey, mostly cream. Okay. And I use that like every weekend pretty much.
In your coffee?
In my coffee, yeah. But I think this is a good alternative to that, this coffee liqueur. Mm. This coffee liqueur is fantastic. Yeah, they did a good job. The coffee liqueur, the rum, the beer schnapps, all really good from Songbird, a crew I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, down in Bloomington. But Bloomington's a space. We went down with Lakeshore Beverage to Bloomington, Indiana, to see Upland.
Yeah.
And we had to stay the night. It's too far. You know, so it's kind of like deceptively far. It's closer to like whatever the next state is, Kentucky or some shit.
Yeah.
It's down there.
That's cool. Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. I'm a big fan of Metrics, so I might have to seek some of this out, and coffee liqueur sounds good.
Yeah, they're on my radar now, man. I will happily pick them up next time I'm out.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's all I did last week,
But did you end up going for any Black Friday Bourbon County?
A little bit. Man, 2 hours in line.
Okay.
I was 20th in line, or maybe like 23rd, and by the time I got there, there was no Reserve, and there was no Northwoods.
Okay.
And if you look at a lot of the forums, the local forums, I feel like Northwoods is the most elusive of all the variants so far.
Yeah, it sounded like the Binnie's on the main one, the Mercy Street one.
Yeah.
Northwood was only available for like the first 20 people.
That's wild as fuck. And that's like the big release, right?
Yeah. So like, where is all this Northwood, right?
It was a national release.
But no, shit, so, that wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that was?
Yeah, it was... Reserve is Kentucky and Chicago, and then Prop is Chicago.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, everything else was national.
Huh.
But yeah, that sucks, man.
Because that was, I think, the best one.
I think it's up there. You know, the first time I had it, it was like we were saying on the show last week, it was straight up fresh blueberry juice up front. But now it's got that nice almond dessert vibe.
Yeah.
It's fucking good. I think it's my second favorite. Prop's still my favorite.
Man.
Yeah, but it's good.
Okay.
I think it's tied with barley wine, man. That barley wine is sneaky good, man.
That is good, but I kind of... These days, I avoid the barley wine.
I've had my firm stance on this barley wine.
Yeah, I've had my time with barley wines. I know what happens when me and barley wines get together.
Oh, man.
It's not good. It's like, it's just not good.
You should see Brad. He's like using his hands. He's like, listen, we're staying away.
That's a barley wine? No, thank you.
I will say it's more interesting than all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right up there with Prop on it. It's very interesting beer.
Yeah, no. I've liked the barley wines of the past, the Bourbon County barley wines. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Northwoods. Northwoods is blueberry juice and almond extract. Northwoods is trading. You can get 3 Northwoods for a Prop.
What?
Yeah.
Really? That's an easy trade. Do it.
I would do it. Yeah. I saw it and it was closed. If it were not closed, I would have done that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get any of Northwoods. I was like, man, it was good. I want it.
Prop was the Banana Fosters.
Yeah, Banana Fosters. And then the other ones were pretty static, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Reserve was not Creek Barrels, but it was. Then what was the other one? Coffee.
Yeah.
And the OG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard from people that regular Bourbon County, you're just walking to Costco or Jewel, and there's still pallets, and they're still around. So
there were people saying that at Benny's. Well, Benny's was a little high. Well, Costco is going to be a better deal regardless. Mm-hmm. But places like Jewel, you were getting like $2 cheaper than you were at Benny's, like $9.99 versus like $12.99.
Yeah.
And then also, apparently, if you look at your receipt, Benny's was charging people like this extra food tax. People were posting their receipts. That was kind of funny. I mean, that sucked because I went to Benny's. I would have rather went to Jewel got the $9.99.
Yeah.
I don't want to take the chance, though, of not getting variants. Well, shit, I didn't get any anyway.
Well, you could just go to Miska's here down the street and probably pay double the price for it.
You think they're doing that right now?
They have told us Wednesday they're supposed to get some in. So.
Okay.
I'll check over there. But, yeah, it's probably if what? Oh, how much was regular Northwood?
Regular, I think those were 23 to 25.
Okay.
So, like, you know, barley. It's surprising. Barley wine was more than OG this year. So the original was like 12. Barley wine was 15. And I want to say coffee was 15. But then Northwoods and Reserve and Prop all like 23 to 25, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they'll probably have them for 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they do. Maybe even 40. They'll probably go 40 and then as no one buys them.
There's some, there's a Galleria Winery. It's a chain, local chain. They're rolling $89.
What?
For a Prop. They're rolling 40 for fucking wine.
Fuck you. Yeah. Do not go support that.
It's rough, man. It's rough out here, Brad.
Yeah.
You know? Because if you don't wait 2 hours, you know, you're for sure not getting any. And then if you wait, like,
yeah,
we're
that's
waiting.
Some stuff that I feel like Goose Island or Anheuser-Busch needs to just be like, nope, you're going to do that. We get it. It's the free market kind of idea, but you're going to do that? No. We don't benefit from that. Like, that's what they need to say. Like, you selling it for more doesn't help us.
Yeah.
So you're out.
No. I think price gouging, you know, this or like the KBS or CBS is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
I think people need to chill with that. You know, I'm okay with it if you go to like an auction site or a trading site and you see it at that price.
Yeah.
But like a straight up retailer, like fucking you for like 3 times the price.
Right.
Come on.
Like, if you want to charge a dollar or a couple dollars more, like, okay, I get it. You're a small shop and you're not Benny, so you're not buying. You're not getting discounts on other things. But $80 for a beer that should cost $20.
I wonder, we were talking in the pre-show about how, like, you know, we're hanging out at Goose Island, you know, at the Barrel Warehouse. And, you know, the guys that were there, they work for Goose, but they're still excited about, you know, these releases. I wonder if it's ever going to get old, the frenzy, the hunt. I mean, because come on, we've been doing this. I can remember, like, in 09, you go to Benny's and, you know, Beer Adam was there, Adam Vavrick, and you would see the OG BCS to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like 10, it would be like 7 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those days are gone, but I don't know if it's, I haven't gotten less excited about it, and I should
well,
be less
excited. I didn't go out. I haven't gone. I've never gone out to seek it out. If it's like here or at Miska's or if I find it. But I know being in Chicago, where Goose Island is, I'm going to have the opportunity to try this beer so many times over the next like 3 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not like worried about waiting in line to have this beer and to buy it and sit on it and like we do many a times, if you've seen the YouTube videos, we open old beers and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And I'm trying to drink the beers I buy. Yeah. So I'm not buying beers to keep.
Yeah.
Because it backfires on me.
went to a beer Friendsgiving over since the last episode, and they had a blind tasting. One was Regal Rye. They both went sour. That was the year where they had all the sour beers.
Okay.
One was Regal Rye and one was Prop.
Okay.
And it was like, man, it was a shell of itself. It was so weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully none of those issues prop up this time, because, you know, they took the steps to make sure that this wasn't going to happen again. I'm sure that was a huge backlash and just fiasco for them to deal with, returns and refunds and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, and one final note about Goose, man. They're a very stylish crew, right? Like, we're sipping out of those, you know, those elegant chalices, and, you know, how the logos evolved, and, you know, how they take barrels and they make them into this beautiful, like, art. It's almost like an homage to the barrel aging process.
Yeah.
You know, they're a very stylistic crew. I can appreciate that. And then, yeah, that's all I noticed. There was something else, but
okay.
I've been drinking. I've been drinking these IPAs, man.
All right. So that was our past couple weeks here. I would really recommend going and listening to the episode with Jarrett that we posted on Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I think it was a great interview. It'll probably, like, we'll share it probably a few times over the next few months, just because, you know, it stands on its own.
I agree, man. And I'm excited about this portfolio we're starting to build, man. You know, the Half Acre, Peace, Goose Island. You know, we've had the top guys from those. Some of our favorite breweries.
Yeah, I'll have to get the website in a way that you can find those interviews a
little
easier.
Is it easy to number? Would it be easy to number things? I thought about that.
We could number them. We just don't, because most of our episodes are kind of, they're not important next week, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like, it's more of a newspaper than a magazine.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of like, yeah, it's that week and then it's kind of, you
know. But having a place where maybe on the website where we can, or the listeners or watchers can go back and be like, oh, I want to watch that interview with Gabriel or listen to that one.
Maybe like have a guest.
Yeah, have a guest, like a little sidebar kind of thing. That could be good.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
But then we always talk about events that are coming up. We have a few, but it's kind of that slow holiday. Like, there are tons of holiday kind of events happening. I talked to Haymarket crew the other day at Blue Island. They're getting ready for their anniversary party. People are like, have holiday parties at their spaces. So there's less events around this time, but there's plenty of drinking happening. Yeah. But you do have a couple you've came across.
Yeah, for sure. Founders, CBS, Canadian Breakfast Stout. That's the big release on December 1st. There's going to be a huge party at Centennial. You know, Centennial is named in part for Centennial IPA, because the guys who run that place are really cool and almost probably related to the Founders guys.
Yeah.
So Canadian Breakfast Stout is this weekend. Also, the big part this weekend is Big Hugs, man. Half acre Big Hugs on Sunday, December 3rd. So this is an 11 a.m. start. So for the first time, they're putting the original Big Hugs in cans, and then the variants will be in bombers like they've always been.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking at, you can get a $6 pour that day, or you can get the whole four pack of Big Hugs for $22.
Nice. I've gone and gotten Big Hugs multiple years in a row.
Yeah.
The line has started to get much longer. Bring cash. If you're going to this event, bring cash, because there's a separate cash line.
Yeah.
So do that. I do just want to have some cans of regular Big Hugs.
Big Hugs sounds nice. And it looks like the vanilla Big Hugs will see the bottle treatment, and so will Barrel Age. And Barrel Age is like 12%. They seem really excited about this year's Barrel Age Big Hugs.
Yeah. So I may try to make my way up there and pick up some stuff.
Right on. This year they're offering the whole enchilada, which is $180. It does not include real enchiladas. Kind of bummed out about that. But you do get like 2 4-packs, and then you get 3 bombers of vanilla, and then you also get a 13-ounce glass and a 16-ounce glass.
And you don't have to pick it up that day. You have like about a small window that you can show up and just pick it up.
That's awesome. Does Big Hug see? It probably sees a little bit of distro, right?
I think a little bit, but not. I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think any of the the cans and bottles make it out. Maybe this year because it's in cans, but usually just some stuff on tap.
Okay. Right on. So that's the big part this weekend.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we typically always have some news. What's been happening in the beer world this past week?
Right on, man. Mars Brewing down in Pilsen, they are co-sponsoring the Independent World Karaoke Championships.
That's stupid.
They love karaoke. I remember at, what was it, over the summer, the Brooklyn Brewery, the Mansion, when Mars was there, Mars was running the karaoke portion of that party. They really like karaoke. So this is actually a thing. It's going down on December 7th. December 7th through the 9th.
You can not, get not a thing.
A three-day pass for $25, man.
What? That's over 3 days, too?
Hey, listen, man. It's the Independent World Karaoke Championships, okay? There you go, man.
I'm not interested in the event. I'm interested in the people that like lead up to it. Like, are there semifinals and like quarterfinals? Like, I had to go to Cleveland this weekend for the karaoke semifinals to like.
I mean, cause I'll get down on some karaoke every once in a while.
Yeah, when I'm in the Korean karaoke room with friends.
So for all you karaoke lovers out
there, just have a band, man. If you're like this legit in the finals,
oh my God.
Get yourself a band.
I don't know why Brad hates karaoke like this, man. So that's coming up in like a week, man. And kind of a side topic, Elijah Craig. Their small batch barrel proof whiskey won the 2017 Whiskey of the Year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Whiskey Advocate that gives out that award. Yeah, Elijah Craig was a reverend. The guy, the actual person, Elijah Craig, was a reverend that started making these whiskeys. It's under the Heaven Hill umbrella. As we know, Heaven Hill is Goose Island gets fresh Heaven Hill barrels for Bourbon County Stout.
Right.
And then Elijah Craig, I know that it's Jared from Moody Tongue. It's his favorite distillery. He always puts stuff in Elijah Craig barrels. And the Haymarket guys use Elijah Craig barrels sometimes as well.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I know a lot of us drink whiskey. Yeah. Not a lot of people listening probably drink whiskey. So. Throw that down. Yeah, because there's a lot of whiskey choices when you go to the store. So check out that Elijah Craig small batch.
It's like it's growing. Like I was having whiskey on Thanksgiving. My uncle was starting to get into it. And it's kind of, or he may have already been into it, but he had some and was sharing with us this time. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's just like overwhelming. I've had a lot of whiskey in my time, but I could, like when I go to the store, it's like, I'm getting what I know, and you, because it's a bottle, you have a hard time like trying new whiskeys, right?
That's true. Yeah, I gotta stick with my favorite is Four Roses. I might branch out and get some Weller if it's there. Yeah. But yeah, it's a short list, maybe four or five. I don't really experiment too much.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably podcasts and videos out there of like whiskey talk or whiskey casts. I'm sure there's a lot of those, but yeah.
Yeah, so. And the great Michael Jackson, the beer hunter, who he wrote like 7 whiskey books. He'll tell you there's not much difference in the, in the two, you know. You just, they all start out the same. You just distill whiskey. That's really the only difference.
Yeah, we should just start a beer and whiskey chaser, a different thing.
This is
a new idea for me.
The beginning stages of alcoholism.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Right?
That's what that sounds like. But
I think that's just what happens when you drink. You just want to drink more,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, but that's it, man.
All right, whiskey. All right, sounds good. So this will be our last episode of November. We're moving into December.
I'm still stuck in, like, early September, man. I'm not into this.
I'm ready to go to the pool, you know.
Dude, hurry up.
So, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not recording here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at Brad. Mention the other places where you can follow Chicago Pure Pass a few times. Instagram, we're always posting, I think, great photos there.
Our Instagram is hopping. I'm very excited about our Instagram.
So check that out. Sometimes other photos, if we're like at an event and there's like multiple photos, we'll throw those up on Facebook.
Yes.
We'll share other events there. That's / Chicago Beer Pass. And then all the episodes get posted on ChicagoBeerPass.com. So check that out. Subscribe if you're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, whatever you use. Subscribe, listen to the show, and leave a review too. Love seeing those. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode.
Cheers.